I brought you series like Monogamy the Series, The Laura Show. I brought you another great series, 202, next. Hello, you guys. Welcome to Black Hollywood Lies Breaking Into. I am your host, James Law Jr. This is my 81st episode. This is crazy. So I decided to bring in like 10 people in the room with me to join me for this episode. No, just kidding. Just like five. And I'm so glad to bring these people. I just binge watched this series. It's so good. It comes out every Thursday on YouTube. And I'm waiting for the next episode. And I just want to tell you guys about this series. You want to meet people behind the scenes who actually wrote it, produced it, created it, and some of the actors from the series. And the series is called 202. And it centers around these three roommates who and their lives, and things just go awry. It's kind of fun. Sitting next to me is a guy that I was like, "Who is that?" when he first came on scene. I was like, when they showed her boyfriend, this one character's boyfriend, I was like, "Oh, really?" So he's sitting next to me, Harry Holmes.
Exactly. How's it going? Nice to be here.
I'm keeping my hands over here. My hands over here. Sitting next to him is a guy who actually is one of the creators, producers, writers of this series, and some of the music.
Well, yeah.
I saw at the end of the credits, there's original music in it, and you and Melinda both do some music in it. But this is Michael. I'm just going to say your one name, Michael. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
And he plays a weird character.
A little bit.
Named Rick. Okay, now sitting next to him, again, she's one of the leads of the show and also does some of the music and produces it with him. And she's really funny. And she has her own little storyline arc that I was like, no, don't do it. And then like, oh, thanks, no matter. It's fine. And she is Miss Linda Hale.
Hey.
Hi. Now, they're on the couch, not because they're banished from the dais. There's just no more room. Like, we're all big guys. Three of us are big guys up here, so there's just no more room up here. But she is so beautiful. And I didn't know. You have to watch the series, see what happens. But I'll tell you about it later. But she plays Lola. That's Miss Tia Robinson.
Hello, everybody.
Now, sitting next to her with the great hair, he actually directs and edits the shows. And so we get to talk to him more about the behind-the-scenes stuff. That's Mr. Justin Patton.
Yeah.
Hello, how are you? Hello. Hi, you guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
This show is so good.
Oh,
my God. So, now, one person who's missing who I had advertised was going to be on here, Mr. Lionel Renault, who plays Dwight, who is a very interesting character. And I was going to wait 20 plot points, but I'm like, the way it ended the last episode, I'm like, oh my God. So that's what I'm going to say to you guys. I want to see what happens next with what happens. But he is really hilarious, and we're going to actually show a scene shortly with him in it. So okay. We'll talk a little about it. We'll ask you about him and kind of how that all works too. But so first of all, I want to know how this series kind of come together for you.
Okay. Well, I had written another web series that the budget was just way too big. So I was like, let me figure something else out that's more contained. And I started playing around with this idea of roommates. And then Melinda reached out to me in December and was like, hey, let's get coffee and talk about what we can work on together.
Yeah.
Because we've been trying to for years.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys know each other for years then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I was like, I had some ideas, and 202 was the one that I knew she was going to latch on to, so I, like, held it till the last bit of the conversation.
You're smart.
And I was like, so here's this. And she was like, yes, this, right here. And I was like, perfect. Let's get it started.
And so I literally, because I've known Tia for years, I've known Lionel for years. I was like, we're doing a web series. I didn't even ask. I just told them.
Okay.
I was like, you're in this web series. We're going to start filming the second week of January. That's that. And that's kind of what happened, honestly.
Wow. That's
no
how
budget.
That's how she asked you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, I have the perfect person for it. And she asked me, and I was like, heck yeah. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Wow. Because it opens up with you too. You guys are kind of you are the lead. Well, I would say the whole show is kind of you guys are the lead.
Yeah,
so to speak, that it's kind of through your eyes what's going on, and then it always gets a good point, Justin, who is the director and editor. It always comes back to you too.
Yeah,
and I think that's, and people can relate to that. It's friendship. You can relate to the friendship. You guys talk crap to. That's why I like with the show too. It's very realistic how people talk to each other.
Right, yeah. The writing is amazing.
Completely. But that's how we talk to each other.
We talk crap
to each other, and we still get along. We still friends.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You know, it's very realistic. Okay, so now you play, Melinda, you play, like all of a sudden.
Naya.
Thank you, Naya. Who is like, has her own storyline arc, but I said to you before the show, you had me at popcorn in your hair. That's how the show opens, you guys. On the couch. And she's like telling somebody on the phone, now she's not even going to deal with that person. So, I mean, like, so this character for you, how do you describe her to people?
She's me. Minus the drugs. literally. It's so funny because Michael actually had me as Lola the first time he gave me the script. And I was like, no, I'm Naya, thanks.
She's totally Lola.
It would have been cool to try something different, but I was like, I relate to Naya. That's who I am. That's how I talk to people. That's just how I am. So it worked out perfectly. And the popcorn scene, actually, it was literally Michael throwing popcorn on and then going, okay, action. That's one of my favorite memories. Yes, I love playing Naya. She's who I am.
Honestly. Well, you have to watch how her arc goes, but when he's mentioned drugs, I was getting upset. I was like, no,
don't give too much away, but.
Yes. So I was kind of getting there. But one thing I want to talk about, one of the things you do when you're talking to your parents on the phone, a conversation I had when I was younger with my parents on my own, I know that conversation was so realistic. It was so realistic. When you go on your own, you're trying to make it. Mm-hmm. When you both are discussing, talking about your jobs, and your job, and just you retire these people, and you're trying to get another job. It's like, we can relate to that. The whole rent situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can all relate to that at some point.
Just trying to keep your head above water, but still keep your artistic life alive and what you want to do and why you're actually out here.
Yes.
Yeah. And we hate asking our parents for help.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't mind it. They just don't want to help.
There's a difference.
There's
a difference. But you know what? The thing about asking your parents for help is almost like you're saying you're defeated. Like you're saying, if you come, you come to them, you're feeling like, well, I'm a failure. You don't want to show your parents.
And you don't want to feel like that.
No, not at all.
You hold out for as long as you can.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, now first with you, what nationality are you? What are you? besides handsome, I'm like, what are you?
Thank you. I'm actually a half Caucasian, half Korean.
Oh, Korean! Okay, so that's very LA.
My mom is Korean.
That's very LA!
I love it!
No, he did it!
It's very LA. Is it in LA the second largest Korean community in the country or the world?
Really?
They definitely have a large community for sure. I don't know if it's the second largest, but I live right next to Koreatown, so.
Yeah. Well, Koreatown now, when I was a kid, I grew up in LA, so when Koreatown was like a couple blocks, now Koreatown is like downtown LA, to like Malibu. Sure.
It's huge.
It's huge.
I feel like I'm in Korea, literally, when I go to Koreatown. I'm like, I'm back home, it's great. It's a lot cheaper than a plane ticket, sounds good.
Well, my friend came and saw some Korean groups that came to town because they come to LA because it's a stop. They'll support it.
K-pop is huge here.
It is huge here. Mm-hmm. I love Koreatown. There's some great restaurants. And great places to live still in LA. There's some great little pockets in Koreatown where you can't live anywhere else in LA. Some parts of Koreatown there are in LA. So that's funny. But I was like, this guy, you were very striking when you came in because when we talk about your boyfriend at first, he's like your crusty boyfriend, all this stuff, Steven. And then you come in, I was like, oh, who's that? What interesting casting.
Yeah.
So how's that for you?
With him. It's great. Yeah. You got him. He's very handsome.
Well, I mean, we have very good chemistry, I feel like.
You do. You guys do. Mm-hmm. You guys mentioned she has pretty eyes. She has to stare at
her eyes. Oh, my gosh. She's gorgeous. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's like our first promo. I'm like, I mean, she's my girlfriend. Like, how?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Tell us me to blush.
You should blush. Go ahead and blush. It's good. Would you guys, like, before, do any rehearsals before you guys met? Did you guys just, like, meet that day? And just
met that day.
We met that day.
We barely have time to shoot, let alone have rehearsals.
Rehearsals are our kids, pretty much.
But they're so good that we don't really need a whole lot of rehearsals.
Yeah, that's been, like, the most amazing thing is that these guys, like, here's the script. These last few scripts have come out pretty close to the day we shoot just because everyone's busy, but they get it, and then they just kill it, and it's like, you have notes? I don't have notes. You're like a bad director, but you just did an amazing job. So.
Well, that is amazing because you want people who can actually deliver, who can do the job, because you said you have no budget. Yeah. That takes...
That home. We have no budget, y'all, so please be impressed. By
I'm totally impressed. So are you that apartment building? Is that somebody's house?
This is my apartment.
That's her apartment.
It's that's so funny.
Community apartment. I have a dog who she is like over it. She's like, I'll film one more episode. She loves Harry. That's her boyfriend.
She hates me.
She hates. Oh my gosh. She loves Lionel. Loves Tia. But she's on T for a second. Yeah, it's my apartment. And yeah.
That's very cool. Oh my god! So, are you guys all from LA? I mean, is that what's going on?
No.
Okay.
I think she's the only one from California.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, of course. That's where everything's happening. Atlanta.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
A lot of Atlanta's come out here. A lot of people in LA go to Atlanta. Yeah, it's kind of.
I needed a change, so I moved out here.
Yeah.
You know. Do you like it?
I love it. Okay. I love the weather, and I love, you know, I love the town. I love it.
I guess no humidity in the summer out here.
No, yeah, that's perfect. Yes,
that is right. And where are you from?
I'm from the born and raised in the D.C. metro area in Virginia, and then moved to New York. So.
My niece just graduated from Hampton College 2 days ago in Virginia.
Congratulations.
I'm very, Miss Haley, I'm very proud of her, so I know Virginia.
I have a lot of friends that went there,
yeah. It's a great school.
It's beautiful.
And I'm from Georgia. It's a tiny little town in the... like the bottom farm areas.
So wow, well, you're a farmer?
I grew up on a farm. We had a horse farm, and I worked with farmers that rented on our land. So
wow, kind of. I like that. So how's a farmer go to becoming a director?
I always liked telling stories, and always like fabricating truth.
I like that. Nice way to put it.
I like that.
That works.
I like that.
And it just kind of, you know, went that way.
How'd you meet up with them? How'd you get
me and Michael went to college together in Georgia and became best friends, and then we moved out here together. He was singing at the time, and I was always on film, and then his evolution came to be like, well, now we can team up. We can produce and write, and I can direct, and we can just take over everything.
That's right. World domination. What is one of the keys to successful collaboration, you think, for you guys? Well, the three of you guys, kind of. What do you think that is?
Communication. Communication.
Absolutely.
Almost to the point where it's too much communication. Like, where it's like, okay, I get it. Like,
he's talking about me, because I over-communicate.
And I always say this whenever I do an interview about a show or whatever, I'm always like, I appreciate Melinda for making me better, because she is so particular about what it is that she wants, what it is that she likes, and I mean, I've said it before, like, I'll do a wide shot and be...
He'll be done with it.
Yeah. She's like, wait a second.
I need my coverage.
Right. We need a couple more shots on that.
But that's why I'm the writer and not, like, the...
Yeah.
All of that other stuff.
Are you a Virgo, Taurus?
I'm a Leo.
That makes
sense.
There you go. That makes sense. I love it. That makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
And how are you? How do you guys work together? How's it?
We work together pretty good. There's some headbutting occasionally, but then it's part of our process because we're both very strong, opinioned people.
Good.
But we always headbutt, and then we work through it. And then
well, I probably feel something good really when good. It comes out, though, through the headbutting problem.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
You got to
take that with everything else, I think. Like, I go into any production knowing I'm probably going to butt heads with people collaboratively on creative things. But, especially with this, I'm so proud of the product that we've...
Totally.
You should be proud of it.
We've
it's good.
Created. And it's like all of the, nitpicking or whatever, the headbutting... At the end of the day, it all was worth it because look what we did.
I mean, we're here.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Like, this is cool.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you guys.
It's a good payoff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you play Miss Uptight to me. She's uptight. And a little bougie. A little bougie. Yeah. Lola. So, how do you like playing her?
I love Lola. And just like Melinda and Naya, I feel like Lola's a lot like me. When I started reading, I was like, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, that was it. I grew up in Virginia, which is a, very conservative, suburban area. And so I can be a little bougie.
Hey, you can miss yourself.
And so it's like, when I was reading it, I was like, how did you know? Literally, how did you know that? Because that's what I just did yesterday. Like, that's what, I had that conversation with somebody. So she's a dancer as well, which I grew up doing, and... I think it works really well.
Your sister comes on the show. The girl plays your sister on the show. She was good, and I was getting mad at her.
She was good.
She's
a long time friend as she's great.
Because I like it because you have the whole singing thing and you have the dancing thing that comes up again. It's another realistic thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing what you should be doing? You came here for, or do you get caught up in the daily grind of trying to make that money so you can make your rents?
Yeah.
I mean, you all might know what that feels like, okay, yeah, right? He's like,
yeah, right, right now. Like,
hire him, hire him, hire him, hire him, hire. They're all for hire.
It comes from a place of truth, I think. Both their all of their performances and the right, like, I mean, the conversation with the parents, the not knowing where rent's coming, like, there have been times where I've just been like, look, landlord.
Right.
I ain't got it.
Can you wait to the 15th?
Yeah, I know that one.
But, you know, we all have our hills and valleys, yeah, and it's the part of the journey.
Yeah.
So the one guy who's not here, I just want to mention there's two things about him that his character that I really enjoyed throughout the series. There's a speech he does towards a later episode of the series that's come out already about when to be in love. Mm. And he's talking to you. Yeah. And that showed another side of his character.
Because
we're going to show a scene where he really enters the room when he first enters the show. And you'll see that in a second. But later on in the series, when I saw that, I was like, I guess you wrote it.
Well, no, I didn't.
No,
I didn't.
He improvised that entire monologue.
Did he? Really?
Because he came to me and was like, I want to say something about this. And I was like, I agree, we need to have a conversation like this happen. What do you want to say? And he was like, okay, so they...
You just improv that, and that was all from Lionel's heart, actually.
No, seriously, yeah. I felt it when he... Yeah. I thought I was like, really great writing, never mind.
won't take credit for it.
Yeah. But you did great, you know, letting him do it. But, yeah, but your conversation with him, you both were, and you kind of came, and you're like, you're serious.
Yeah. Our whole scene was improv. And Lionel, we've known each other almost 8 years, so we're very close. He's like my little brother. I love him dearly, and... I almost wanted to cry during that scene because I know that in his real life, like, we've had those conversations before, so it was amazing.
Folks, you need to watch that episode. I won't tell you what episode that is, but it's later on in the series, and it's such a great episode. I wrote it down in my notes. I'm like, that just really touched me, because we've all had those conversations off with our friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just want to fall in love, I just want to have this, and then his host goes, but he said it was right on. So we're going to show a scene that I like, I chose out of the series, that we're going to see another side of Dwight, so...
Alright, so tell me about this guy again.
His name's Dwight. He's a party promoter. So much fun. I really think you guys are gonna hit it off.
I'm not trying to date him, Naya.
Girl, he ain't trying to date you either. That's him.
I know.
Oh, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, girl, look at you. You look gorgeous.
Well, I learned from the best.
Hi.
Oh, Lola, this is Dwight. Dwight, this is Lola.
Lola, what kind of name is that? You're stripper, honey? Excuse me? Never mind, you're cute, though.
You're cute, though.
I love this place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could definitely work. This... Oh, no, this is the thing that has to go.
It was my grandmother's.
Give it back.
She's dead.
And...
So it's $500 a month, and we'll need this month and next month's upfront like we discussed.
Don't even worry. That won't even be a problem. I think this should be about it.
Great. Are you okay with this, Lo? You can move in today, then.
Okay, I actually have a great idea for a housewarming party.
Housewarming? We've been here for 5 years. The place is plenty warm.
Great. So maybe
so I want to show that scene. That's like Dwight's entrance into the series. Yeah. But you have to see his journey. He has a journey in it. So you have to see what his journey is. And that, to me, like I said, now you guys have seen that. Watch the rest of the series and see what I'm talking about. Yeah. And you'll be like, oh my God. Yeah. it's a very real conversation. Okay, that blue blanket.
All right.
It's in every episode. You're wrapped in it with her. I mean,
that blue blanket is actually my husband's that my mother-in-law gave him, and I hate that blanket. And so Michael knew that. He was like, we have to use this. Like, it's perfect. I was like, I have the perfect blanket for this. I hate that blanket so much. And my mother-in-law, when I said it on another interview, she was like, I heard it too. I hate the blanket. I'm sorry. I hate it. It has holes in it. It's ratty. But it's been perfect. It's its own character.
It is. I mean, mean, it totally is. I'm like, that blanket is a script.
It's our fourth roommate.
But it belongs to you, apparently, because your grandmother.
My grandmother gave it to me. Yeah. She passed away.
He's like, get rid of it. Also, the tequila powwow. I don't want to do that.
Right?
Let's do it right now. I'll just do it.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
That was fun. So, I mean, so where the idea come from?
Well,
for real? Is it for real?
Out of my head. No, like, I'd never seen it done before, but it's always something that I've been like, you know, alcohol makes people tell the truth.
Yes.
And what it, you know, when, because I've, you know, in college, when you live in a house full of people and you don't always get along, you probably need something like that. Well, you know, guys usually just kind of fight and get it over with. Yeah. But, and I just kind of went from there and was like, tequila works wonders. And
it works some stuff.
And so that's where it came from.
I like that. And you have talks about race in there. There's, again, watch the series, it continues. There's some talks about race in there. And it's, again, realistic conversations. Mm-hmm. It was like the words, I guess you wrote these, I'm sure you wrote these, they sounded like, again, conversations I would have with my friends or I would hear on the streets or hear my people. I mean, this was really interesting stuff. Did you decide, because it's about three African-American roommates, but I mean, was that something conscious?
No, like, yeah, I think that when we started, we wanted to always have that be a part of the conversation, part of the story, because, you know, what Melinda was like, I've always wanted to see a roommate show that that features African Americans and kind of what that looks like. What is the inside of an apartment with three black people look like?
We don't see that.
Yeah, and not really. And that lends itself to conversations about race, and then when you're talking about you know, throwing in a half Korean in the mix, and you know, like it lends itself
to a black landlord,
black landlord, right. Seriously,
and I think that's where we wanted to go, and I think where we'll continue to always have that in the you know, conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you have a gay person. You have, like I said, half Korean. So for you, like first, how did you get involved in this project? Did they come to you, or you knew them, somebody, or
so the project they were talking about before, where they had no more budget for it. I was in that project, so I had auditioned for them previously. It was a project called Raise, where I was playing Detective Shane, and they're like, "Well, we can't do this project anymore." So I went back to Indiana, where my brother lives. We were having Christmas there, and he hits me up. He was like, "How would you like to be in a comedy series? Here's the script." Sure. And I read the script. I was like, sweet. Like, sounds good. I'm like, I don't get many comedy opportunities, so I'm like, I jump on it kind of thing. And plus, I love being in projects just like everybody else does. So.
Right, of course.
And I already knew them, so that's true too.
But you're playing a guy that his arc had changes too, and we're not giving things away. But you're kind of a mysterious guy at first,
right?
So that must have intrigued you a little bit. Like, okay, this is kind of mysterious.
Definitely, Well, when he first told me about it, he was like, "You're kind of mysterious, so we don't really know where we're gonna go with it." But for me, it was really cool because, like, the audience could follow my character, and I could also kind of follow the character in a similar way. So as they're discovering things, I'm also discovering new things about myself as well. So it's a lot of fun to play on.
We still don't know what he does.
Right.
That's true.
We don't know what I do at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Right.
We don't know what he does.
I'm well off financially, apparently. But we don't know where it came from.
It's okay. Part of the Korean cartel. Like, what's going on? Like, still going on, like,
you
crazy
might find
quarter.
Out. Who knows?
But the thing is, you love Tia. And I was like,
I do
not mess that up.
Yeah.
You know, you're the actress.
I am head
right
of
it, but don't mess it up.
He's already on my case. Look at that.
I want Lola and you together. I kind of like you guys together.
Aww.
I do. I like you guys together. It's like, because you guys compliment each other in this kind of strange way. And you seem like you're mysterious still, kind of, but you seem like you love her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, for sure. Like, my characters, I mean, Steven is definitely head over heels for Lola. Okay. And it was great when we first met up because we had to do a scene on the couch and we hadn't really introduced each other, stuff like that. And, like, I'm like, okay, well, we're supposed to play boyfriend, girlfriend. She just kind of, like, goes on me and just, you know, does girlfriend stuff. I'm like, all right, okay, let's go. Let's do it. We're going on for sale.
It's not
that hard. Sounds good. So, it was very easy to get into the role, for sure. Yeah. Took a lot of research.
I mean, I twisted my arm before I walked in, but, you know, after that, I was fine.
And so was the choice that you really want to have one of the characters have a boyfriend, not like both of them be single, like Sex and the City kind of?
Yeah, when I wrote the pilot, there was no boyfriend the original pilot, there was no boyfriend in the show, and I was like, one of these girls needs to have a love interest that plays through just to kind of add another layer to the storyline. And I was looking through Instagram, and Harry had posted one of his new headshots, and I was like,
there it is.
And I was like, okay, I'm gonna reach out to him and after I write this episode and see if he's available. And he was.
So. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a great move too, because it keeps our show from being like, I don't think we've been pigeonholed into any type of show. Like, it's not a single girl's show.
No,
it's not a poor kid's show, and it's not a black people show. But it's like a show with people, and we do all kinds of things. And I love that about it. Mm-hmm. It's very. It's not ambiguous at all, but it's not stuck in a...
It's real.
It's very L.A., too, because we do have a lot of interracial relationships in L.A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We do. They just happen. Like, we don't really... Mm-hmm. You don't even discuss it. Like, you haven't really discussed it either on the show. It's like, you don't need to. It's like, it's just it happens.
Right. It's just a thing.
Yeah. It's just like... Yeah.
Yeah, and in certain cities, that's how it is. And in L.A., we're just very mixed up.
Yeah.
And that's an L.A. feel, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think... I purposefully didn't say that we're in LA, but obviously, if you're in LA, you know.
You can tell stuff. Palm trees! You know what's going on.
And, you know, when you say, oh, why'd you move out here to this place to do what you want to do?
It's like,
obviously.
It's probably LA.
Clearly LA.
like that. So. But I like the fact that it's just everything seems so normalized on your show that if they like say from the dialogue to the casting to the different elements of the different characters, like just like regular folk.
Yeah,
you don't see that very often. Even in web series, everybody's all highly stylized or hyper or a certain character trait. But you guys are also like just like folks I would know.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted. Yeah.
That's I think that's the biggest appeal is that a lot of people can relate to each character on the show.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
Right. I was getting mad at some of you guys. Now, I'm a person, I'm a journalist. I know this is all this acting, but I was getting into it. I was like, okay, I'm like, don't do it, girl. Oh, my God, what are you doing over here? Why are you trying that? Oh, my God. I was like, I was seriously like looking at going, this is crazy. And these episodes are really quick. They go by so fast.
Yeah.
It's the web. I mean, you have to do short episodes, but like, they go by so fast.
But the funny thing is, we made them short. And then people were like, why are they so short?
Right, I'm sure,
it's
I'm
like,
sure.
If this was a 20-minute episode, y'all would be like, why is it so long?
Exactly.
I'd rather be short and people wanting more.
Right. Exactly. I agree with that. I agree with that. So what does your husband think about the filming in his place?
Oh, he has a real job. he's a real job. He's fine.
He's used to Melinda's... having everybody over.
Oh, yeah. I'm like the host. She's the host. I always have people over and barbecues and get togethers, Cards Against Humanity nights. So,
This show's just so good. Okay, so what has been some of the reactions? I saw some of the comments on YouTube. They're all nice comments. They're all great comments. So, how's it been when you guys have been shopping this around? And
I mean, it's been well received. Yeah. Surprisingly, people didn't think that we could
pull this off.
Like, people were surprised at how good it was quality wise, and with the acting and the right. Like,
and then when we tell them we didn't have no money,
right?
Like, I can't stress. There's no budget.
Camera. Yes.
Like, people say, oh, no budget, and they're like, oh, we have to put $5,000.
Right.
We have no budget. Like, we've done this with no money.
It's 99-cent store.
Everything comes from the 99 cents.
Wait, but here's the thing. Here's some real talk. So, it's no excuse for people out there who say they can't do something.
Exactly.
Right.
There's no excuse.
Exactly.
You have an iPhone, you can movie. Like, when you let me come on, people. I mean, like, nowadays, there's no excuse to not follow something you'd want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
You just got to figure it out, right?
You have to know that if you move out here, you have to start creating your own stuff because you're otherwise going to get sucked into trying to live and pay rent, and then you just kind of, your artistic life just dies. So you've got to be able to, you know, be with other people and say, oh, you're a director, oh, you're a cameraman, oh, you're lighting, oh, you're, you know, an actor. Let's do something. Yeah. Let's just do, like, 4 episodes and see what happens, or let's just do like a half hour special or something, you know, just do something to get those juices flowing.
But if there is a sound person out there, we need you.
I think
everyone's getting tired because I don't know what I'm doing.
Between the two of us, like, we run the sound, and you know, and she, that's one of the things that she was very like particular about with sound. Like, even before we started, she was like, sound has to be great or people won't like this. And true. I was like, I agree. I know Jack about sound. And she was like, GarageBand, we got these mics, let's plug them in.
Oh, that's so funny. Like, wow.
I mean, I'm a singer, awesome. So yeah. I do recording all the time. So I'm like, well, let's figure it out. You know, so we've done the best we can. But if there's a sound person.
And this is our lighting editor.
Props. Production designer.
If he's not acting in it, it's just us behind, like, doing the crew stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Melinda helps out with sound because she knows more about it than any of us.
Wow.
And so we're, like, very small, but I love what we've been making.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you said something, it's find people who are like-minded and create with them.
Super important. Yeah.
It's so important in LA, especially because we can get so caught up in the day to day stuff that we have to do that you forget to create. I'm in this business and I hear people all the time like, I haven't acted in like 4 months or I haven't done a play in like 2 years. Like, well, then do something.
Yeah.
Because in LA, there's so many opportunities. I mean, there's so many theaters, there's so many acting classes, there's so many. And that's it, your friends.
Yeah. That's what makes this so special to me because I started writing because I was in a rut. Creatively, mm-hmm. like last year, pretty much all of last year, I was like, why am I not booking anything?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I go on these auditions and I don't hear, you know, like, or whatever. And I was feeling bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you get that way. Yeah. And I was like, what can I do to, like, get out of this? And Justin actually gave me final draft. The script writing, and I was like, "What? How do I use this?"
Oh, funny.
And then he showed me how to use it, and I was like, "I love this! This
is amazing!" All the writing.
And you know, that's where this came from was me saying, "Okay, I need to do something creatively," and you know, I have talented friends that would make this even better than what's in my head. So let's just do this. Thankfully, you know, and then Melinda, like I said, reached out, and I was like, this is perfect. We're going to do this.
Mm. Melinda is very inspirational that way. She's always finding projects, and she's always doing something, always keeping the grind going, and it's like, okay, she can do it, she's doing it, she's loving it, she's out there, like, I can do that too.
And I like that. Because sometimes you need somebody who's like that to kind of jumpstart you.
Be
motivated.
Most definitely.
But she's also like the assistant director on set as well. So like, if we're goofing off too much, she'd be like, guys, like, we need to,
we're
like, can we get this scene? Like, I'm ready to go. It's like, oh, okay.
And I won't even be in the room. Like, I'll be in the bedroom in the back, and I'll hear them laughing. I'll be like, Lionel has to leave at 3. Shoot the scene.
Because as you can imagine, things can get kind of.
I'm sure.
Like, I mean, we had one episode. It was episode 4. I don't want to say it, but with the boot, I'll just.
Oh, that was yes.
We had a moment where we literally were laughing for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
30 minutes, and like when you have to get all these people on the schedule, like 30 minutes is a long time. It's a long time to lose, but I wouldn't trade that moment for anything.
That was
hilarious.
And it's also funny on screen. It's a funny moment on screen too, of course. But it's like you guys are getting together, and because this business is so fickle. And so, here today, gone tomorrow, feast or famine, you're up for this 3-5 months, and 6 months you have no work. I mean, it's a tough business.
Right. Yeah.
And I really do. You guys are like my 11th or 12th series I've shown on this network, because I believe in all these web series. Yeah. I feel like it should be, I've done web series myself too.
Awesome.
I just believe that there's people out there making great content.
Yeah.
That's just that because it'd be out of necessity almost.
Yeah.
And it's out there. I want people to know it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I do. I want people to know it and stuff. But some of the music. You guys have music in all the episodes. Yeah. Some of it's from you. Yeah. Some of it's come up from you. So was that a conscious choice too? That because you had no budget, I just used my own music?
I mean, basically. Call space, space.
They got me saying it now. I have no money.
And I mean, and when you come from musical backgrounds like she and I do, you have talented friends as well. There, you can be like, hey, can I use that song? Thankfully, you know.
You do have some talented friends.
It's like they're great at allowing us to use their music for our little show.
And at the end of every episode, they show who the artists are and the music.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's watching our show, we want to give our friends a little bit of a shout out.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I have to say, my friend Tebby, if she's watching this, to thank her because her song is the outro song for every episode. Like, I just, she lives in the Bahamas, and we worked on a web series years ago together, but I was like, I want that song to be, because it's like, I don't want to settle down right now, and it's all, you know, like, this whole, like, grind mode that we find ourselves in, but also that the characters...
And I hadn't heard the outro song that he had picked, and I composed the little intro song, and when I sent it to him, he was like, this is perfect, this goes perfect with the outro song, so everything worked out.
I think when that happens, though, when this kismet happens, and just stuff just comes together, and he was like, thank you, Jesus. Because in the inner moon, you have to worry about all the other things that are going on, but like, that's when you're like, oh my God, they came together, thank you so much.
Yes.
It's just like the small miracles that happen.
That happens a lot.
Okay, so each of you, I want to ask kind of a little bit more. What else are you working on? What else are you doing?
So I write as well, and I've got a few short films that we've lined up.
Good.
We're producing and directing another thing that some investors brought to us, and we're going to be shooting that next month, which is exciting. It's a pilot presentation, so hopefully we can shout that around.
Yes.
And then I do a lot of production design for small commercials and other web content things. So.
A Justin of all trades.
I just try and stay on set as much as possible.
And what other things are you doing?
Right now my partner is starting a movie that he has that he's been working on for like 7 years to get developed. So we're going to start a production company, and he's getting started with all that stuff, so I'll be working with him.
How fun. I like it. And you also have something else you're working on too.
Yes.
what do we do?
In about a week and a half.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm a nurse. I see a nurse. I can help out. Anything happens, I can help out. Oh, how funny. Wow.
Yeah.
She's like tiny.
Were you telling her that?
You are not that
but
tiny.
But she is tiny.
But being a dancer and an actor, it's like so weird to watch your body like change so much. And I'm just like ready to like, okay, I just want her out, and then I'm going to start exercising again. I'm excited. But it's a different kind of feeling than I'm used to. But.
You're maybe just miss being a Taurus. I'm sorry.
I know. I love Tauruses.
I'm a Taurus.
I'm a Capricorn.
We get along great. Exactly. We do. But I just had a birthday, so I was like, dang it.
When's your birthday? Lyle's a Taurus,
May
10th. Too.
Is he really? Yeah. I'm May 10th.
He's a Taurus.
I'm May 9th.
May 9th? Oh, my birthday.
Oh my God, so
I'm way older than you.
Lyle's May 8th. April 26th.
Oh my God.
Lyle's May 8th.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
8th, 9th, and 10th.
That's why we're good. But I'm way older than all of you, so I'll take that one. What things are you working on?
I'm a singer full time, so currently I have a residency at State Social House the third Tuesday of every month. Show is tonight. And then next at 10 o'clock. Oh my God.
See, there you go.
And next month at the W on June 29th, we're doing a Melinda Hale and Friends show from 10 p.m. to midnight.
What's with this late stuff, girl?
I don't know. People in L.A., I don't know.
So it's Melinda and Friends, is it singing act?
It's just singing.
Okay.
But I'll have a bunch of special guests and me and my full band.
So what date is that?
June 29th.
Well, maybe I'll come out. Yeah. They're in town by then. And what else are you working on, sir? Some of the stuff with him, of course.
Yeah, like we our production company, A Great Adventure, we're writing and producing the pilot presentation, as well as another one that we are going to be shooting in July. So two pilot presentations this summer. And then hopefully back to 202 in the fall.
So that's the thing. Okay, before we get to you, of course. How many more episodes we have left? Because I think up to episode 8, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have two more. So you're going to do 10, take a break, and then hopefully come back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you have two more episodes. Oh, my God. Over already? I better get what I want. I'm not going to say it out loud. I better get what I want. Okay, so that's two more, and then later fall. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. And what else are you working on, sir?
I'm working on a pilot called Cyborgs right now, and we're trying to present it to, once it's finished, we continue shooting, I think, in June. So, like, my director is going to Cannes Film Festival, Leonardo Cabrucci, and then he's going to come back, we're going to shoot, and then pitch it to producers and see who wants to pick it up. But it's a post-apocalyptic setting, pretty much, and we're all, the lead cast, they're all cyborgs trying. So it's basically humans trained robots, robots took over, and now we're trying to make the world a better place.
Wow. Yeah. It's funny. I filmed my first movie scene on Saturday, on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
I have so much respect for actors. I had a 2-page scene, and I was like, "Oh my god, I can't remember these lines." And I was telling people, because it's a Christmas movie coming out with Vivica Fox, actually.
I'm like,
it was written for me. Actually, it was kind of weird. That's I know, cool. Really weird. But I'm telling you, it's so hard. Oh my god, I had to drive the scene. I'm like the comic relief. I'm a bad host. Apparently, and I'm coming. I was like, I admire what you guys are doing on no budget, and not great. And, you know,
drive that home.
Like, no budget. I can't stop saying it. But no, my reason for being able to, I used to always say it to like people coming. Like, I'm like, write me a scene into your show, and I'll come on. I'm like, it's hard. I gotta stop saying that. I had a fun time, but it's a lot of work, guys. Yeah. Just the memorization. It's a memory muscle you guys have. And I think I did. Oh, I'll see it in December. How well I did, but they kind of did okay. But I'm just like, it's a hard thing, you guys. What you guys do, and what you do directing people, the shots and cinematography. Yeah. And I was in heels. I'd stand this way for like 3 minutes, and I'm like, it wasn't comfortable. It's like, okay. And James talked like this. I'm like, okay, this is not comfortable at all. But I got to look natural at the same time.
Exactly.
So it was a little. I don't know how you guys do it. It's like
it's a lot.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's fun.
But I love the series, you guys. It's called 202. Series. It's 202 series is on YouTube. 202 series is on Twitter. 202 series is on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It does have Instagram page too.
Yes.
They are everywhere, folks.
No money,
but they are everywhere.
No money, but they are everywhere.
And this show is so good. I'm telling you guys, run, don't walk. Watch it. Go on your tablet. Go on your phone. Go on your computer, whatever, and watch the show. It's so good.
Well, thank you.
Now, each of you, starting with you, tell them where they can find you on social media if they want to talk to you.
You can find me on Instagram. It's my favorite. And it's Justin_AGA for A Great Adventure. So.
Oh, that's what it stands for. I like that. Okay.
I'm on Instagram at Tia Robinson. Twitter, The Tia Robinson.
Okay.
Facebook, okay. Tia Robinson fan page. You know, all that good stuff. You can find me.
That's funny.
That's funny.
I keep it simple. It's just at Melinda Hale, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. Yeah. Everything. MalyndaHale. Spell it differently.
Yeah, very spell. I can spell it. It's pretty.
Thank you.
I'm official Mykel.
Okay.
MYKELL on Twitter.
Don't you forget
Instagram.
It. That's right.
And Facebook. And I think that's all I have time
for. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And it's a different world than it used to be, having to come into all the social media. So
I know.
Right.
And Mr. Man here.
My Instagram is HarryHolmes90, and I think my Facebook page is HolmesHarryD.
The opposite. Okay. And of course, you can follow us at Breaking Into on Black Hollywood Live. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. So you can go on iTunes. You can actually listen to it, download it, and listen to it as a podcast. Or go to YouTube and watch it. You can see all their lovely faces, all these beautiful people in here, and me. And then, of course, you have my Facebook page, just Breaking Into. Go ahead and like it, and this link will be on there also, and more of their information of the series. I think I put some links on there, too. Go there and go to the series. It's such a good show. Thanks for watching my show, and I love you guys. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. It's been awesome.
Executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff. We would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.